Are you out shouting or are you out contributing? Welcome to Rebellious Ideas, the bite-sized version of our podcast. I've pulled the best of the best with two of our most listened to podcasts. One by Julie Masters, talking about the influencer code and the new age of influence. And the other by Maz Farrelly, who talks about how to hook attention, how to turn intention into engagement, engagement into action, and how to use strategic storytelling to stand out in a noisy, busy, crowded market. The buyer journey is changing. There is more complexity in our B2B sales. And therefore, how can you stand out by out-contributing, influencing, and earning attention in today's age? Before we dive into today's conversation, a really quick shout out that our next Rev Up cohort for 2026 is about to start. We looked at what are all of the capabilities and skills that we need to thrive in the current market in 2026. From negotiation to prospecting to influence to storytelling to AI, you name it, we got it covered. And then we curated 10 of the world's best leaders to be able to bring you live, interactive, hands-on masterclasses across a 12-month continuous learning program. And I am so pleased to say that Julie Masters and Maz Farrelly, who you're about to listen to, are two of our favorite speakers who are a home run every single time. If you want to check that out, the link is in the show notes, and we would love to have you on board with us in 2026. So now let's jump to today's episode.
Something I think has been a game changer for me that I've learned from you has been the concept of, you talked before several times about people's strategies is out interrupt. If I interrupt you enough, you'll pay attention. And your strategy is more about how can I out contribute, which is what you've been talking to. So can you, and that word, that out contribute, that has really stuck with me again on my Julie checklist. You know, is it a keep it or share it? Am I out contributing? So can you talk to us about that out contribute mentality?
Yeah, I mean, I studied marketing at university. So I spent four years studying and then worked in, you know, various different corporations and in London, putting it into practice. And I could pretty much just boil the whole thing down. It's depressing. I could just boil, like, you know, 8 to 10 years of my life down into three core strategies. And, you know, one strategy is out interrupt. I'll just interrupt you. Let's just up the interruption factor. Let's interrupt more people more frequently and, you know, digital has given us this beautiful platform for interruptions. It's one of the things that it's brought that, you know, I think has this incredible potential, but the way that we're using it right now is at a very minimal degree and a non-helpful degree. And that is, now we just have more places to interrupt people. We're not thinking any harder about how we want to communicate. We're able to up our interruptions. And, you know, I tell this story about my mum, and, you know, my mum, she's no interest in tech, none at all. She has no, like, not interested in social media. She not interested in email, not interested in tech at all. And I called her, and this is a while ago now, I called her and I was like, you know, how you doing, mum? And she said, oh, you know, I've come across this amazing new thing. And I was like, what is it? And she's like, oh, it's your dad set it up. What I do is I put on EastEnders and then I pause it and then I go and make a cup of tea. And then 5 minutes later, I come back and I press play and then I just fast forward all the ads. It's brilliant. And, you know, it just got me, it really hit me. I was like, oh my God, if my mum, my 70-year-old mum has figured out how to stop being interrupted. The other strategy that, when I said three strategies, is outspend. If I just spend more than anybody else, then I'll be guaranteed to get attention and engagement and impact. And again, if my mum's figured out how to stop you from interrupting her, how to stop people from outspending to get her attention. And the third one is volume. I'll just outshout everybody else. I'll just get louder. You know, if she's figured out how to avoid all these three strategies in the time it takes to make a cup of tea, then, you know, the future of these strategies appears to be limited unless we can find a smarter way of doing it. And, you know, there's all kinds of innovations in this space right now. And if you want to see the best of the best in this space right now, you know, B2C is where it's at. You know, there's amazing innovations there when it comes to lead nurturing, when it comes to, you know, focusing down on questions, epic storytelling. Also, you know, one of the best places that I'm looking right now is Kickstarter. You know, I'm fascinated with the idea of Kickstarter, the fact that, you know, in a 2-minute video, you can convince me to pledge money for an idea that I didn't know existed. You know, they're on the edges. That's where we're finding the most inspiration at the moment. But to come back to the point is that most of us, to some degree, fall back on these three strategies because it's all we've ever done, it's all we've ever known, it's all we've ever been taught. So out-shout, out-spend, or out-interrupt. And what we need to start looking at now, focusing on exactly the keep it or share it rule, is out-contributing. How do I out-contribute everybody else in my space? Because the people that you trust, people that you follow, people who you pay attention to, and all influence really is the ability to say, you know, look over there and have somebody be engaged enough to look. And hopefully trust you enough to take action. Those people are usually the ones that have out-contributed everybody else in that space for us. Mm. And that's when we start focusing on out-contributing as opposed to out-interrupting.
And I think I've personally found since we've used it, it's a great mindset shift to go, right, if one of our goals is to out-contribute everyone, how are we doing that? And it brings you completely centered more towards the customers.
Yeah. And there's also a danger to it. You know, when we talk about out-contributing, you know, do I just post a million times? Do I just send a million emails? And I think that that's a really important distinction to talk about, because what out-contributing, you're exactly right. It's our mindset. This is, again, not a volume. This is not based on volume. In some situations, volume should be this. In other situations, it should be this. This is not about frequency. And again, you know, frequency takes you into an interruption mindset. This is a mindset of contribution. Mm. This is, you know, my job as a translator is to decode a journey, a very particular journey for the people that I'm trying to serve. And how can I contribute regularly, usefully, purposefully, and, you know, in an engaging way throughout that journey to help people get from A to Z? That's what having a contribution mindset is. Where might they trip? What information might they need? What questions might they have? Who else can I bring in that's on my panel that's going to help them navigate this road? You know, that's the mindset of contribution. Mm. It's a very different mindset to a mindset of interruption, which is what we fall back on often when we don't know what else to do. Yeah. So I think you're right. I think that flip in our brain is a really important one to have. Otherwise, we do fall into just interrupting as frequently as we can.
No, I absolutely love it. And I love that you mentioned there with purpose. You know, one of your courses I did at the end, I said, you know, when I was debriefing with the team, so much of it was around like really getting behind that purpose, that intent. It was so intentional.
What is your intention? What's the one thing you want to, just to speak to intention for a second, what's the one thing you want them to do, feel, believe differently as a result of this piece of communication? That's powerful intent, and that has way more correlation with action than something that has no intention. We call it like spray and pray, baby. Mm. Spray everything as many platforms as you personally can. Get up on the stage, just dump as much information as you can on human beings, and then leg it. You know, it's very different. It's purposeful. It's contribution.
You could have the best idea on earth. You could have the best service, product, idea. But if you can't tell people what it is in a really interesting way and make people interested in you, you are dead in the water. And I know this from TV, because when I make TV shows or documentaries or films, if it's not good in the first 30 seconds and it doesn't grab your attention, you will go and you will never come back. And in fact, you won't watch it. If my Netflix ad is not amazing, you're not even going to click on my show. So it goes right back. Everything has to be interesting. If it isn't, nobody is interested. And it is like taking off the blinkers when you're a business or an individual and you realize this. And it always is a terribly brutal thing to say to people, but it is so absolutely vital that everyone knows this. It is your first step to having a successful business. Strategy, yes, goals, yes, all the stuff that you need to do. But if you're not interesting, don't bother renting an office. Go and play golf, because it won't work.
So how do you start people on that journey? I know myself, when after I heard you say that for the first time, you have a moment of going, oh, geez, you know, my life's pretty boring. I'm not that exciting. Like, how do I grab someone's attention in that first 30 seconds? How do I make it interesting? How do I take out, as I've heard you talk about before, the white noise? Like, how do you start people on that process to make their story or to make what they're producing really engaging and interesting, so that person is going to read on or watch on?
Well, it isn't about you, it's about them. So it's never about you. You are not transmitting what you want to transmit. You are transmitting something that they want. And business is exactly the same. The first thing I would say is do a boring audit of your assets and lose all the white noise. So white noise, there's white noise in every industry. White noise in TV. Things like, I really want to win this. You're in the competition. Of course you want to win it. Would you ever stand next to Usain Bolt on the start line of the Olympics and say, Usain, would you like to win this? And what was he going to say to you? Well, I'm not here to juggle, am I? Of course you want to win it. It's just white noise. This is the most important day of my life. I've had 14-year-olds say that to me, and I think you've only had about 8 days in your life. This is not a big call. You know, I'm a real people person. It's not my time to go. The one that everyone always says is this: I'm nervous but excited. Everybody says that. Now, if you are a person who's not terribly curious, not terribly interested in people, you'll stop there. If you are an interested, interesting producer, you will say, why? And you only have to be 1% more curious, and you only have to be 1% better at thinking than your competition. Because if you are, you'll beat them. Because they'll be the ones saying, nervous but excited, really want to win this, going to give it 110%, not my time to go, it's the most important day of my life. Or you're the one that says, why? And you question it, and you dig a little bit deeper. When you dig deeper, you get really interesting answers, I think. So I'd say, look at what your unique selling point is. Everyone has one. It's just sometimes we forget that we have it. What makes you different to everybody in your market? Because if you're not, you don't need to exist. And you do need to exist. You need to exist. So why do you need to exist? What is it about you that makes you different to everybody else? And I think when you know that, you're winning. But you've got to be brutal. You've got to be really brutal about it. Everyone has a unique selling point, and every business has a unique selling point. If you can't find it, you're in trouble, because I can throw a dart into your industry, hit any company. But when you offer me a point of difference, I can only have you. And that goes for being inside your company. If you offer the same opinion as everybody else, you know, I only need one of you, not 10 of you. 9 of you can go. But if you're the one that thinks differently, I can never get rid of you, ever. I have to have you because you give me a different opinion. So think differently and you will always win.
I love that. I love the concept of the boring audit and just the 1% and really digging into that curiosity. So I'm curious on that note, how I know that you do quite a bit of work with corporates, and I'm really interested in how you help corporates through that process. Because when you're talking through that, I can see that with a lot of my network who are small business owners and entrepreneurs, and they can sort of really play with that. The people in my head I can hear going, oh, yeah, but how do we also do that? Is some of the corporates who have a few more boundaries and restrictions and red tape to work through. And I can say that being ex-IBM of nearly 10 years. So how do you help corporates to get that X factor and deliver?
You have to know your audience. So I've made lots of shows that were very big, noisy shows, but I've also made lots of shows that are very quiet and considered. So 1 year of my life, I made a very contentious Big Brother. And then I think I wrote a show for the ABC about books, my favorite book. And then I think I did another Big Brother, another really contentious one. And then in the break between Big Brothers, I wrote Q&A for the ABC. So it's about your audience. So you need to know your audience. And I worked at the BBC, which is built on red tape. I mean, literally, everywhere you go, you're chopping red tape. It's just so red tape, it's not funny. So I think that you need to know your audience very, very well. You need to know your parameters. You need to know the industry that you're working in. And you need to imagine that your industry is Netflix. And there will be 1,000 ads on Netflix. And what you need to do is write your ad so people click on you. What is it about you that makes you more interesting? What is your story? Why are you different to everybody else? What are the problems of your industry and how are you solving them for people? What are the problems they know about and the ones they don't even know about? You know, it's like Henry Ford said, if I asked people what they wanted, they'd say faster horses. You know, we have to think differently. We have to ramp it up constantly. So I think it's having a point of difference and really knowing why you need to exist. Be very clear that you have one message and not 300 messages. Because if you have 300 messages and you throw 300 tennis balls at me and I catch two, might not catch the right two. But if you had 300 tennis balls with one message and you throw them at me, I'll definitely catch one. So one clear message, I think. You have one clear message. Make America great again. Who said that?
Is that Trump? Remember?
Yeah. So what did Hillary say? Biden? Johnson? Obama?
Ooh. Oh, God, you're shaming me that I can only remember Bush. Trump. That's terrible.
No. The reason you can remember Trump is because he is the king of messaging. I mean, I don't know what Make America Great Again means, but I know that he said it over and over and over and over again. I don't know what Hillary said. Obama said something about hope. I mean, vague, don't know. You know, ask not what you can do or your company can or country can do for you. Ask, you know, so I'll do that one again. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Now, that is what, 50 years old, 60 years old? 60 years old. And that's the last slogan that I can remember. So it's really hard, you know. These are politicians who have huge marketing departments and publicity departments. If they can't get it right, it's very, very hard, very hard thing to do, to write your one line, your slogan, your Netflix ad. But you do, you know, you really have to have it. And you look at Trump, he was brilliant at it. You know, I mean, I didn't agree with a single thing he did, but I think he's brilliant at messaging. And when you have a message like that, that anyone in the world can quote, and you know what it comes from, that's genius.
That is very, very, very powerful. So on that note of messaging, I want to stick with messaging, because something that I picked up when I was reading your bio and I just absolutely loved, it's highlighted in pink, I love it that much, was you talk about your life being spent helping smart people and companies deliver killer information with the power of a cement fist in a cashmere glove. Now, I bloody love that, but it does beg the question of going, yes, I want to be that one that stands out with the killer message. But how do we actually cut through the noise? So I do want to build on that concept around how do we do that? Where do we start?
It's difficult. You have to ask yourself a number of questions. The most important one really is, what is your unique selling point? You know, what makes you different? Now, I go out into the world and I train companies on how to communicate. And there are lots of people out there doing it. And what the world probably doesn't need is another public speaker and trainer. However, I come from a really, really different background. I'm an expert in human behavior, an absolute specialist. I'm a specialist with zero qualifications. I have no qualifications. You know, I did journalism and I did art and I can't remember what else, fashion or something. So I'm literally qualified. Go shopping, write about it, and then draw it. That's it. I've spent 30 years really watching people. I watch people for a living. 24 hours a day, I watch people. I watch their behavior and I watch what they do, why they do it, what the motivations are. And I understand what motivates people, which is why my content has been watched more than 8 billion times. So I understand engagement. And people think that their market is different to my market, but it really isn't. It really, really, really isn't. We are all the same. when someone sends something funny to you, Abby, you don't think, I'll just send that to my 18 to 35 year olds, A's, B's and C1s. Do you? You kind of go, that's funny. I'll send it to everyone. And I think companies sometimes do that. Certainly the government thinks that their audience is different to my audience, but they're not. And one of my favourite facts is that more young people voted for the winner of Britain's Got Talent than in the general election. Now, it's funny, but it's really not funny.
Mm.
More people are engaged by people like me making stuff that's quite boring, entertaining, than they are by defence, you know, healthcare, education, pensions, mortgages, the interest rates. What the government doesn't understand is if they made that interesting, we would be interested. I mean, it's so simple. It's so simple, but we've become very, very complicated. There's a great quote from a guy called Dave Abbott, who was an advertising guru in the UK. And he says, sheet coming at you at the speed of light is still sheet when it arrives. Now, I love that because I think we've become very complicated. But the software that I use to process everything is the same software that my parents use, my grandparents, my great-grandparents, my great-great-grandparents, my brain. It's evolved a little bit, but not remarkably. It's so simple. Storytelling is storytelling, and it hasn't changed. The delivery has changed, but a boring story coming at you through really, really, really fast and really strong Wi-Fi, still dull when it gets there. You know, really think about it. You've got to produce everything you do. Think about your clients. Think about your audience. How do you interest them? And how do you tell a story really quickly? And the Tiger King, I think, is a beautiful example of that. You know, we all watched the Tiger King. It was this time last year, I think, 2 years ago. And everyone on earth was watching. We were all watching the Tiger King. And the reason we watched it, I think, is because the Netflix ad was so good. And it said something like, it could have said, this is the story of a man from mid-America, really bad hair, too much jewelry, who loves tigers. But it said something like, this is the story of a man and a woman who want to save big cats and kill each other. That's a good story, isn't it? That's the story I'm going to click on. What's the story of your company?
I hope you enjoyed today's conversation with Julie and Maz. If you want to check out the details of our Rev Up program, which I mentioned at the start, for which Julie and Maz are some of our leading experts, the link is in the show notes. And whilst you are there, please don't forget to subscribe because we have got some incredible experts and episodes coming your way on Rev Up Rebellion in 2026.